Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Monty Walden. How are you, Monty?
Pretty good, Chris.
Excellent, excellent. We're going to crack on talking about Central Italy. It's one of those wine regions that, it's people know about. But there's a lot of sub-regions in central Italy that aren't really that common. So, let's talk about the whites now. In Tuscany, what is it?
Vernaccia or Vernaccia di San Gimignano. Basically, Vernaccia di San Gimignano means Vernaccia, which is a grape from the town of San Gimignano. And it's a dry white wine. You can add 10% now of Chardonnay to it if you want to.
But what does Vernaccia taste in its own right?
Well, it's funny, actually. What does Vernaccia... I mean, some people say that it's called Vernaccia because it tastes of varnish. It doesn't really. It's a little bit... It's not particularly aromatic. It's sort of medium-bodied. It's similar in weight to Chardonnay, a little bit tighter and a little bit more herbal. Yep. But what's interesting about Vernaccia di San Gimignano is you're seeing a move away from really technical winemaking, everybody fermenting cool with the same kind of brand of yeast. People are taking a few more risks and being a little bit more experimental now. So I think we've yet to see the best from Vernaccia di San Gimignano.
Okay, so everybody's more formulaic and now they're just, what, wild ferments or...?
Not yet. I mean, that is starting to happen and roll on, I say.
Okay, good one. All right, and then that's sort of the main... Oh, no, missed Marche. Well, where is Marche first?
So that's on the Adriatic coast.
Below
Emilia-Romagna. It's between Emilia-Romagna and Umbria, north of Abruzzo, yeah. And the Marche, the most famous wine in the Marche, or Marche region, is Verdicchio de Castelli di Jesi. And Jesi is a town, Castelli means castle, so it's Verdicchio, grape, white wine, from the town of Jesi, where there are lots of castles. That's really what the name means. It's a real mouthful.
I tell you what, I've actually managed to pronounce that now. Of all the Italian regions, that's the one I struggled the most. And I went out of my way to get it right. And I'm not going to say it now, but usually... Well,
yeah, in Italian, the J is a yay. It's a di Jesi. And it's a dry white wine. It's a kind of classic one for seafood. They used to sell it in these kind of funky amphora-shaped bottles.
Not with wicker like the old Chianti
no,
ones.
most people have stopped doing that now. But yeah. Again, it's a good sort of seaside wine. And you've got some very interesting terroirs there as well. You've got to think about how close you are to the coast, which way the vines are facing. And that will influence how quickly the vines ripen and how dense the wine is going to be. But again, there's some good stuff going on.
And typical style?
Well, as I said, dry white. Slightly creamy. A little bit less firm than the Vernaccia, quite sort of broad open textured wines, not particularly dense. You've got quite sandy, quite sort of friable soils there, so you don't really have a lot of density in the wine, but you can get some wines with decent amounts of finesse.
Price points, are they, because I always think of them as not particularly expensive, more in the lines of the Montepulciano or Abruzzo or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, these wines that sort of end up, they're sort of brands in supermarkets almost. You can put Frascati in there, Valpolicella. It's really hard for producers to rise above that and price their wines differently because they're making more of an effort in the vineyard. Either they declassify the wines and give them fantasy names, but if you go to a good Italian restaurant and they give you the top Verdicchio from a producer that really works well, it'll be a delicious wine. You're just gonna have to pay a little bit more for it, but I think that's better value for money than some cheap Verdicchio that tastes like creosote.
Yeah. Okay.
And the wine we didn't pronounce was Cornero and Rosso Piceno.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about them then. What is Cornero?
Well, they're both based on the Montepulciano grape.
So red wine.
Yeah, sorry. So the Cornero and Rosso Piceno are both... there's probably slightly denser examples of the Montepulciano grape, red wine, than you find a little bit further south in Montepulciano d'Abruzzo.
Okay.
Maybe with not quite as much finesse in the best examples.
To be honest, I always find... I know Montepulciano can, as a grape variety, can have structure and acidity, but the ones I tend to buy are down the cheaper end. And they're nice wines, but they always remind me of more of a slightly more structured, generic Merlot-type style rather than, say, a Chianti-style, Sangiovese-style.
Yeah, I mean, it's like with Chianti. You can get really fruity Chianti or really serious Chianti. You can get really fruity Montepulciano, and you can get really quite serious Montepulciano. D'Abruzzo Reds, and again, it's all about knowing the producer. Producers that lower their yields, that farm really, really well, allow the grapes to ripen fully, are going to make wines that have that roundness and ripeness of tannin and that natural density, and growers that just go for yield will give you a cheaper bottle of wine that's perfectly pleasant, but it's not really going to stimulate your brain.
Let's move into Montepulciano Abruzzo now. Mm-hmm. So, again, we've just talked about Montepulciano as a grape variety. Mm-hmm. Stylistically, we've talked about it can be firm or softer. What would you say is a classic style for the wine?
Well, Montepulciano d'Abruzzo, I think a classic style is it's generally medium-bodied. It's got generally plenty of colour. It's quite frank in terms of the fruit expression, so mainly sort of black fruits. Mm-hmm. Not that exotic, not like we're talking really exotic blackberry fruits or black cherry, but you kind of get some, and you get some sort of savoury leather tones when the wine ages for a couple of years. But most of it is made to be drunk young. As I said earlier on, a wine from a really good producer will age between 1 and 6 or 7 years. And will develop some fantastic flavours, as I said, leather, maybe slightly tarry. But again, you know, good drinking wines.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything else down there?
Well,
Trebbiano.
So, right, well, I mean, the thing about Trebbiano d'Abruzzo, it's a dry white wine. I mean, Trebbiano, there are, like Sangiovese, lots of sub-varieties of Trebbiano, some good and some not so good. Generally speaking, Trebbiano d'Abruzzo is really a gluggable, simple, crisp, fairly neutral white wine. And yeah, that's the best you can say about it. Slightly herbal. You get almost a slight nose of I drank one today actually of aniseed to it in the best in the best examples, but generally there's only one producer really that makes a really serious example of Trebbiano, and he makes them from traditional pergola vines, which are sort of like an overhead vines, and but very old vines. So his wine is very distinctive, and actually his wine is called Trebbiano d'Abruzzo. It's made from a grape called Bombino Bianco, just to make everybody really confused.
Oh, okay. So he's allowed to call it a Trebbiano d'Abruzzo, which is Trebbiano from Abruzzo, but it's a different grape variety. That'll be Italian. I notice you wave your hand there.
That's a whole other program, you know, going through these grape varieties. But Trebbiano d'Abruzzo, it's slightly herbal, slightly licorice-y, dry white, and just usually made for glugging.
We start into Umbria, which...
Well, you're moving actually into the centre of Italy.
Yeah, so maybe we go south into Abruzzo.
Yeah.
Umbria, I actually went and stayed in Umbria a few years ago, and we had a look around some of the wine regions. Actually, I spent most of the time driving into Montepulciano, Montalcino, then hanging out in Umbria. Again, Sangiovese?
Yeah. I mean, I think the most interesting wines from Umbria are the white wines, Orvieto, which is a dry white and made from not interesting grape, Trebbiano, Malvasia, which I think can be very interesting, Verdello and Grechetto, and you get some green limey fruits in the best examples of Orvieto. And that area, what's interesting about that area in Umbria is you have quite sort of these very, again, open textured sort of volcanic soils, and you get wines that are sort of quite full in the mouth, but they're not heavy. And I find that that's for me the most interesting.
Was that fruit weight or something? It's not really.
There's more savoury. It's not really kind of these really exotic fruit. I mean, there's slightly exotic, but not sort of overpoweringly peachy flavours. It's a little bit more subtle than that. And but again, Orvieto, the cheap examples, like a brand in a supermarket, are not very interesting. If you find one from a really good producer, you're going to get something that has a little bit of weight and density to it. Very, very savoury white wines. And because you're sort of in the middle of Italy here, you've got a slightly more continental climate. You're at higher altitudes as well. You get a little bit more rain there. They call Umbria the green heart of Italy. So you're generally getting wines that have that real inner freshness that you don't always find from wines nearer the coast, where actually it generally tends to be hotter.
And then moving south, we're into Lazio.
Yeah, well, Lazio, but that's basically where Rome is.
Yeah.
The main wine, the drink of the Romans, is Frascati.
Yeah.
And which is another dry white. And it normally has slightly yellow colour. But what you've seen in recent years is a lot of these vineyards have been taken out for housing. Because the land is worth so much more.
Yeah.
And also, you do tend to get a little bit of pollution around there, to be honest. I don't want to be down on anybody. But every time I go down to Rome, it's always bit of a haze over that area, which is a bit of a shame.
Frascati is I think of it as a very simple, fresh white wine. Mm-hmm. I don't think of it as anything other than that. Have I been a bit naive or not spending enough money? Or
no, I think what's interesting about it generally is I think it's sort of quite a narrow wine in a way. It's made the main grape is Malvasia, and that gives us a slightly yellowy wine. Again, it can be sort of slightly balsary, savoury. Maybe a little slightly exotic, a little bit orangey as well sometimes at its best. But again, generally, most of it is made by co-ops and it's to be glugged.
Yeah, yeah, so nothing too exciting.
Well, again, the best producers, as with all things, do go the extra mile and make something with a little bit more concentration and texture.
Just before we close up, Monty, what is your favourite style of wine from Central Italy? you know, maybe a region, producer, whatever. What really do you enjoy?
Well, I have to say,
and it can't be your own wines.
No, the one I'm next one I'm going to make won't be in Italy. But my favourite wine is something that's really well grown in Brunello. It just has that extra class, complexity, width, length, everything, and the tannins can be really, really complex. It's a really pleasurable thing to drink, really interesting thing to drink. And I generally prefer wines from the higher altitudes of Montalcino, where you get slightly slower ripening, and you get wines that have that just that little bit more length and elegance. So I would have to say Brunello.
What do you mean by complex tannins?
Well, you can if you think about eating a grape that's like a raisin, you know, you chew it and it's gone almost. And if you think about it, or an apple that's just got ripe, and you crunch into that, there's all sorts of stuff going on in your mouth. And that's, I guess, the difference between a wine that's ripened really quickly and that doesn't really have a story to tell. There's no story of the season behind it. Whereas if you've got a wine that's ripened slowly up on a slightly higher site that gets a bit cooler at night, it's really had to work to get ripe, because all it's trying to do is ripen its seeds to make babies. That's going to have a much more interesting story to tell in the glass than a wine that's ripened 3 weeks earlier.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Monty. I appreciate your time.